District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Welcome to District 32 Business Radio. I'm Jane McGinley, and today I'm joined by Colin Spooner of DataSift. Hi there, Colin.
Hiya.
And the devil is in the detail. And how does that work in business, Colin?
Works in a lot of ways. You know, we're surrounded by data these days in every facet of our lives. You know, everything from Facebook. People think that's a way of keeping in touch with friends, but it's not. It's a way of the master race collecting data about us so they know what to sell us. So I always advise business owners to be mindful of the fact that data is really important. Mm-hmm. And when they're setting goals and plans, to do so on a detailed basis.
Okay.
So for example, if I'm selling bottles of drinking water for a dollar, when I set my budget, I say how many I'm going to sell and at what price I propose to sell them at. Mm-hmm. And the reason for doing it that way is when you get to the end of your month, quarter, half year, analyzing your performance then is so much easier because you can refer back to your targets and say, how did I do? Okay, if I sold 10,100 bottles of water, my original price was a dollar, you'd expect my revenue to be $10,100. Mm-hmm. But if it's only 10,000, something has happened with pricing. Mm-hmm. So there are two measurements that businesses need to take. Volume. Your sales team are responsible for selling a volume of product. But there's also what we call mix, which is the price you're selling it at. And from time to time, you might discount to try and get the volume up. Mm-hmm. But you need to be mindful of the fact the more you discount, the more volume you've got to sell. Sure. And too many people, when they prepare budgets, plans, forecasts, they don't put the detail in. So they'll just put in 10,000 for bottled water sales. And then when it comes to the end of the first quarter, they can't remember what the detail behind that plan was, so then they can't measure effectively the performance of their sales team. And if you can't do that, then you can't give your sales team instruction as to how to improve their performance.
Absolutely, sure. And so it's important to detail the business plan in terms of the mix. You know, how much are you going to sell at that price?
Yep.
How much are you going to sell at this price? And then when you get the actual results in, the
exactly.
values and comparing what's happened.
So in a business, if we take a business with three different products, one is bottles of water, one is glasses to put the water in, and the other one is napkins to mop up any spillage, they're all at different price points.
Yep.
And probably at different margins,
yep.
different gross profitability.
Mm-hmm.
And how many you sell of each one relative to the other will affect your overall margin in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So if you set a target, you're going to sell water at a dollar and the gross profit on that is 50%, and you're going to sell glasses at $2, but the gross profit is only 30%.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell more glasses than you thought you were going to sell and less water, that's going to pull your overall margin down, which will affect your overall profitability.
Okay.
So the detail is really important in order to manage a business.
Okay. And is it only important in terms of the detail of your plan at the sales level? Would you take it to the costs as well? Your suppliers?
You should be taking it at cost, because at the end of the day, if you budget a bottle of water to cost you 50 cents and the supplier comes in with a surprise pay rise,
mm-hmm.
I need 55 cents, that's obviously going to pull your margin down too.
Sure.
And owners need to be looking at that, and maybe they need to reflect that price increase in their price if that's possible in the market.
Okay.
But it's all about knowing your market as well.
Absolutely. And information is power. And in terms of looking back in your business at the information, you've done a forecast, you've then got the actuals. What can you then do with that information going forward?
You can use it to, and I mean at the nth level, as your business gets larger, I suspect that a few of our listeners are probably listening to me and going, crikey, all this detail, I'm only a little business. But you won't always be a little business if you work hard. So as it gets bigger, it gets harder to retain all that detail in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't make proper records,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that? You use it to decide what how you control your business. So, for example, go back to our bottle of water. You might set, say, your sales team a maximum discount level and say you don't discount more than 10% to get the volume up. Okay,
sure.
That's a company policy.
Mm-hmm.
People in bigger companies will be familiar with that phrase, but smaller businesses, what's a policy? It's where you set a business rule, if you like, for your staff to follow. So you say no more than 10% discount. And then what you do is you measure that. So if your average price of a bottle of water starts coming in at 97 cents instead of a dollar, you go, okay, we're keeping within our 10%. Mm-hmm. But if it's suddenly down at 85 cents, then you need to go find out why.
Sure.
And then you'd analyze that data again and say, which one of my salespeople is selling it cheap? Because there'll be some people that do follow the rules. And it's important to, I believe, manage a team by precision, not by a global. So if you've got one team member who's dragging the team down, don't go and have a go at the team. Encourage the team. They're doing a great job. Pull that person to one side and say, hey, please, no, don't sell it at 85 cents.
Sure. And this is the reason why.
Yeah.
Part of it all. And in terms of, you know, that type of data we're talking about, once you've set those processes in place and you're capturing that data, it's not a lot of extra work, is it, once you've got the systems to measure it in place?
Correct. I mean, it's like anything in life. Once you get used to doing a thing, it becomes a habit. And a habit like that is a good habit to have because you're looking at your performance every month. You understand the metrics of your business. You hear people say a lot, know the numbers. It's really important that you know the numbers, and not just the global sales line number. Which parts of your business are weak? Which parts are strong? Which customers bring you? There's the old 80-20 rule, which is 20% of your customers will bring you 80% of your profit. So you need to know who those 20% are because they're the ones you really want to look after. And then there's the 80-20 rule in reverse, which you'll have a 20% at the bottom who are losing 80%.
Okay.
Yeah? So the important thing is to identify those and then push the good service into the good ones that you really want to retain. And then you have to have words with the people that deal with the bottom 20% and give them ways to manage those margins up.
Okay.
And that's what you have to do in business. You can't just say, oh, well, I'm doing okay. It's like a constant learning curve. It's all the time you've got to be on the detail going, oh, I need to fix this.
And it all comes down, and the numbers is the best way to do that. Everything ends up in numbers in your business.
Data. It's not necessarily numbers. It could be all manner of stuff. It's not just finance. It could be, for example, the number of lines on a sales order. So if you're measuring that and you've got, say, an internal sales team of three, you can work out then which one of those three is doing the most data input. You can measure and reward accordingly. So the detail is everything in everything. So you can spot which salesperson is the most successful, look after them. There's somebody there not quite making the grade. You have to sit them down and explain that they're not making the grade and put measures in place to get their performance back up again.
It's all about being positive. And using that information to benefit your business.
Exactly right.
And is it important for the sales team to understand their part in the whole business through this data?
I believe that, you know, giving your sales team the right data will drive your top line tremendously. You know, if you've got customers out there that are buying water from you, maybe you carry 10 brands of water. When you go and visit that customer, if you've got detail that tells you what they buy most of, you could probably deduce why. You could even ask the customer why. The customer will be impressed that you know that they buy that. You're talking the customer's language now. And any salesperson that's talking a customer's language is much more powerful than one that rocks up and says, yeah, mate, what do you want?
Yeah.
If you say, hey, I notice you're buying these and would you mind telling me why? Most customers would say, well, because our customers always ask for that brand. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what about this brand here? Mm-hmm. You could try them with that. It's very similar in terms of the taste experience. And water does taste differently. Just try a Perrier, a fizzy one. You go, oh, what is this stuff? So you're helping the customer then to generate sales.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you doing that? Well, if you help them to generate more sales, you get more purchases, which means effectively you're making more sales. So absolutely. Everybody wins.
Absolutely. And empowering, and it's empowering to these individuals that say they just don't have a target of $10,000 sales in a month and go out and get it. However you can get it, they're being given information to understand their customers.
Yeah.
Through the data.
And on many levels, so you can give them data on suggested products they might like to sell in descending order of profitability, you know, things like that. So when they go and make a call, they say, hey, I see you're buying Mount Franklin, but have you thought about Perrier? It's very different and a lot of people like it.
Uh-huh.
Just happens to be the highest gross margin in your company, and that's the one you need to peddle first because... bigger rewards with less effort.
Absolutely.
It's all about working smart, not working hard.
Well, that's right. And from smart, what gets measured gets achieved. So the saying goes, and if you are measuring the efforts of people in the sense of the salesman that goes out and understands his customer, and then the results come in that as a result of his knowing the customer, his targets, you know, his numbers have gone above his targets.
Customers love businesses that know them. They just do.
Mm.
If you rock up and say, hey, I notice you're doing really well this year, from our perspective, you're selling a lot of the product we supply you. That's fantastic news. How can we help you sell more?
Uh-huh.
Customer will go, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Yes. A supplier that actually wants to help me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas most people just rock up and say, here you go, mate, sign the order form, you know.
That's it, job done.
Yeah, work with them.
Collaboration, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And you coined a great phrase, Colin, automate to dominate.
Yeah, in this modern day and age, people need to think more about automating stuff. They need to think about all the little touch points you can have with your customers, you know, if someone puts in an inquiry on a web page or maybe you use landing pages for your marketing,
mm-hmm.
make sure you go the extra effort to send them an email that says, thank you.
Okay.
Because thank you goes a long way.
Absolutely.
It just does.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what you're doing, try and think of ways that you can automate more touch points for your customers. Let's say you're a mechanics business. You're a mobile mechanic and you go to people's homes and businesses to service their vehicles, just as an example. After you've had that customer for 12 months, you know their patterns. Mm-hmm. You know the kilometre reading on their car when they had the service. You know how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that data to then predict when they're next going to have their service. Now, why is that useful to you as a business? Well, one, sales forecasting, but two, you can contact the customer 2 weeks or 4 weeks before it's due and say, hey, according to our records, I think you might be due a service. And the customer goes, oh, thanks for reminding me, I'd have forgotten.
Yeah.
You're doing the customer a service. You're also selling your business, but to the customer, that's really helpful.
That's right.
And they're the sort of things I'm thinking of, you know. Little touch points, but they make all the difference.
And the way that you have that information is simply by taking the opportunity, like you say, when the customer's with you, to log the mileage, log the date, which you do anyway for your invoicing, for your record keeping in terms of what you're doing with the car. So it's just a different way of using the data.
Yeah.
For
it's
your
just,
business.
Yeah, it's not just a tedious thing that you do. It's useful information.
Yes.
And there's that sort of information in every business. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, if you take an organisation like District 32, the patterns of maybe people's absences if they don't turn up to a circle meeting, if you're recording them, you can kind of then reach out and say, hey, is there an issue that maybe we can find you some help with to get you back on track or whatever it is. In every business, there are things that you can do to help your customers in a very automated way and take it to the nth degree. These days, you can even automate financial reporting. I know people are out there are going to go, huh, how? But you can hook reporting software into your task scheduler on your Windows PC and tell it to run a report at 2 o'clock in the morning. So every 2 o'clock in the morning, your computer wakes up and goes, oh, I've got to do that job. So it goes off and does that, drops it into a folder, which just happens to be in Dropbox. You're on the other side of the world. Dropbox fires that up into the cloud, and then it comes down from the cloud onto your iPad when you're in Africa on holiday and tells you there are three transactions today underneath your specified gross margin percentage and which reps did it.
Magic.
Well, magic, yeah. While you're eating your cornflakes, your omnipresence and your... Yeah. Now, that could be used in a Big Brother negative way, but the way I see it being used is, imagine you're a business where your average sale value is $5,000. If you automate that to alert you every time you make a $10,000 sale as the boss, right? You're on holiday, sat on the beach enjoying a pina colada. Ping, in comes an email that says that John Richards in Queensland has just grabbed a $10,000 sale. You can pick up the phone to that salesperson and say, mate, wow. While you're on holiday, what effort is it? You know, and they think, oh my God, he cares. He understands what effort I'm going through. Or similarly, if there's a booking with a customer to discuss a sale of over 10 grand in 3 weeks' time, you can phone the salesperson up and say, would you like me there? Because we all know that when the boss comes out on a sale, the customer feels more important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wins all round. It really is. You have explained wonderfully, Colin, how the devil really is in the detail.
He is.
Thank you very much. Colin Spooner from DataSift.
Thanks.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts. 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday. On District 32, the power of connection.